on the first day of the week, at early dawn. They came to the tomb, taking the embalming spices they had prepared. Been there, done that. The tragedy has passed, the dust has begun to settle, the embers have been doused, and we tiptoe out and wonder what to do now. Tragedies come and tragedies go, but we are still never really prepared for the next one. Every disastrous death, every horrendous tragedy, every large-scale or even small-scale trauma, they all feel somehow unique when they hit. All over again, we don't know what to do, how to act. There are some expected rituals. They came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. But every time we're not sure if they feel right, feel appropriate. Every time we wonder if they show enough respect or whether they have become passé. Do we sing Ave Maria in the streets while the cathedral burns? Do we drop flowers at the mosque in Flemington when the carnage happened in Christchurch? Do we gather in the park where she was killed and light candles and voice our anger over the violence? Do we defiantly pledge to rebuild even before we know what really has been destroyed? Do we tiptoe out to the tomb with the spices we have prepared? The need to do something, something right, is so powerful. If we can just get it right, just respond appropriately, perhaps we can contain the chaos. Perhaps we can hold the monsters at bay. Perhaps we can still believe there's a future. Perhaps we can find a way to survive, to go on, to live with some semblance of meaning, of hope, of purpose. The forces that rage against that are so huge. They constantly threaten to overwhelm us. Climate catastrophe, the refugee crisis, hate crimes and terrorism, systemic abuse of vulnerable people in care facilities, psych wards, churches. The politics of polarization driving us into factions of suspicion and hostility. An epidemic of depression and suicide. A world sliding into apocalypse. An ancient cathedral in flames. Whenever our hearts leap at a message of love and hope, of peace, of healing and unity, the crushing boot of deadly reality comes crashing down again, and all our hope and love and peace and healing end up humiliated, nailed to a post, hung up for all to see. A macabre spectacle, a chilling display of horror to terrify us back into our boxes, into our timid compliance, into imagining nothing more than tiptoeing out to the tomb with the spices we have prepared. The empire always wins in the end. The shadow of death conquers all. The empire tolerates our little coping rituals, taking our spices out to the tomb, lighting our candles in the park, placing flowers at the gate of the mosque, even the occasional street march. The empire tolerates them because it understands. It understands our need for coping strategies, for tokens of normality surviving. It understands that they don't threaten its power. The empire always wins in the end. Could there be another story? Is there a message that can come galloping over the hill to rescue us all from the apocalypse? deep in our bones we hunger for that. For an all-conquering Messiah who will trample down all that threatens us and terrorizes us. Deep in our bones we long for a dramatic change of the story. And that hunger brings us here tonight, searching for a new story. For something big and new and powerful, something that will be so much more than just bringing spices and laying flowers. But most of us have been here before. We've gathered around the fire, we've listened to the ancient stories and sung the hymns and plunged into the water, but we're hungering still. Global salvation has not come galloping over the hill. Tragedies continue to come and go, and the slide into apocalypse has not slowed. The empire still holds the upper hand. Flowers and spices still don't seem enough. Do I just need to believe harder? Do I just need to preach more strongly? Do I bang the pulpit and shout that death has been utterly destroyed, that the kingdom has come, that death and pain and crying are no more? I could, but who'd believe me? There are too many people here who have lost loved ones, some even in the past year. There are too many people here who have been crippled by abuse or betrayal or sickness or systemic injustice. The gospel needs to be good news to them. It needs to make sense of their experience, not deny it or ignore it or erase it from memory. But the truth is that we are not gathered here because it's all better now. We are not gathered here because there's nothing to worry about anymore. We're not gathered here because it immunizes us against pain and sorrow and fear. We are gathered here because we've heard a rumor. We're gathered here because the usual story has been interrupted, not altogether overthrown, but scrambled and confused. There's a crack in the darkness, and a little light is breaking through. Some women found a stone rolled away, and a tomb opened. They saw someone who told them something incredible, impossible, that a dead man had been raised, that Jesus was alive, despite being dead. They ran back to their friends and they told them what they'd seen and heard, but nobody believed them. The first century patriarchy was not about to get taken in by the idle tales of women. Their words seemed too ridiculous. Jesus is dead. We saw it ourselves. Whenever you get too hopeful about something, it crumbles to dust. The empire always wins in the end. But the rumor wouldn't go away. Little flashes of light kept getting through that crack. Simon Peter got up and ran to see for himself. The body was gone, sure enough, and the tomb was open, but what to make of it? He was amazed, but unsure what to make of it. That's as far as our reading of the story went tonight. No grand appearance of a triumphant conqueror of death. But the rumours didn't stop there. Soon a couple bobbed up who reckoned that they'd seen him on the road, recognised him when he sat down to eat with them. But then he'd promptly vanished from sight. More idle tales? Or a little more light breaking through? The rumours kept growing. Luke, the gospel writer, had to write another whole book, the Acts of the Apostles, to contain the rumours, the strange stories, the jagged shafts of light that kept illuminating question marks over the standard old story. Is this really all there is? And most of us are here tonight because we haven't just heard those rumors, but we've become part of them. Just like those first witnesses, our experiences have been unclear, ambiguous, confusing, but beckoning, inviting, intriguing. Put all the rumors before a special investigator and the report would surely conclude that there's no chance of persuading a jury. Too much confusion. Too little clarity or consistency. But when we get caught up in the stories ourselves and the light begins breaking through, we no longer much care what a jury would make of it. We're not often 100% sure that we're fully persuaded ourselves. It still doesn't entirely make sense. It still leaves us confused. But when you've seen the light break through, you can't forget it. Even if you can't explain it. Fear and death seem to march on unchecked. But then weird things keep happening. More cracks appear. Little spot fires of love and mercy keep breaking out. A hate-fueled gunman tries to ignite a war on Islam. But a crack appears in the midst of the horror, and instead of inflaming animosity towards Muslims, he accidentally inspires tens of thousands of people to put their arms around their Muslim neighbours and take flowers to the mosques. And suddenly the usual script has gone awry, and shafts of light are igniting spot fires of love and neighbourliness and compassion. The billionaires put up millions to rebuild Notre Dame, and suddenly a shaft of light breaks through in South Louisiana, and ordinary people say, why not us? And a few bucks at a time, they suddenly raise $2 million to rebuild three local black Baptist churches torched by arsonists in the last few weeks. The rumor circulates again and again that death is losing control of its own narrative, that hatred is having more and more trouble papering over the cracks to hold out the light. Someone has broken free. Someone has cracked open the impenetrable wall. Somebody has shown that the empire has no clothes, that death is not nearly as toxic as it made itself out to be, that fear and hatred and hostility, contagious though they might be, cannot get a grip on those who have been infected by the rumours of love and life. So here we are tonight. Not because everything is okay now, not because death and pain and trauma are no more, and not because the apocalypse has been averted. We are here because the one who we saw crucified has cracked open the darkness and scrambled the story and reached out to us with wounded hands, confusing us even more, but sparking spot fires of love and hope and illuminating glimpses of a pathway to freedom. We are here tonight not because we have the hottest show and can pull out all the bells and whistles and whip ourselves into a frenzy of spiritual certainty. We are here because here the rumor is a little louder. Here the crack is a little wider and the light just a little clearer. We are here because many of the rumors that have our own names attached now have happened here. We have heard an old story and it has broken us open. We've broken bread and it has been balm to our wounds. We've caught half a glimpse of a crucified man reaching out with wounded hands to gather us in unity around his table. And we've learned that we can't hold on to him here because whenever we've tried, he has slipped through our fingers and only reappeared when we've gone outside and glimpsed him again among the strangers, the broken, the vulnerable. So here we are, drawn by the light of a rumour, setting our feet on a pathway of freedom, a pathway that can't avoid death and pain and fear, but can and does avoid being defined by them, defeated by them, being captive to them, becoming contributors to them. Because we have become captive to the rumour that Jesus lives, the rumour that has set our hearts alight with love and mercy and hope, the rumour that is reflected here in this pool and tasted here at this table and breathed here in these people.